So, already two shows in festivals.
Mm-hmm.
How did it go? And in general, do you have? Do you prefer the energy, the ambiance of the festival, or you prefer to when it's, you know, closer with the or your own for your own tour?
It's different. I like both, but for different reasons. With festivals, you have to work for it. They're not there because of you, but if they like it and if you earned it, it's like the most rewarding thing, because they could have just walked away. They didn't pay for you. But with club shows, yeah, it's like it's like you already have them basically, and they came for you.
And you've got like 20 upcoming festival shows.
Yeah.
So the idea is to put your name on the map, or?
Actually, no. We just want to play.
So it was the summer period, so it was festivals.
Exactly. Of course, it's yeah. I mean, PR technical, yeah, it's to put our name on the map, but we get to play like really great festivals with like for instance like the Montreux Jazz Festival. Mm-hmm. Where Eagle plays with us and Gojira is also there. That's like, I mean, that's basically one of the best days I can imagine.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So for that, obviously, for the shows, you have to build a lineup around you.
Mm-hmm.
How did you do? Did you pick guys you know well, a lot of experience? Did you rehearse a lot? How did you go?
These are actually just friends I knew from forever, and luckily they're really good musicians and they like the stuff also. We rehearsed a lot because we're not used to like touring or anything like that. This is all really new to us, so we rehearsed our butts off. Here we are.
Obviously, you're the source or the head of the band. You're the music, the creative force behind it. When you switch your music on stage, how much do you need to adapt, modify, customize the songs?
That's the great thing about the people. Tiziano, who also plays guitar, mm-hmm. he really has an ear for what's important of the song, and he automatically already picks what he's going to play, and I pick the other part. Like, we never have to even talk about it. So it's really organic and quick.
All right.
Yeah.
And so there was a we'll come back to that later, but mm-hmm. there was quite a short period of time between the two albums. Did you kind of build or took some elements of the way the song from the first album sounds on stage that had an impact or modified one way or the other the songs of the new record?
Maybe subconsciously, yeah. But a lot of the songs that are on the record have been written before we ever even played the first concert, because Devil Is Fine was really short, and in order to actually play a set and not piss off people, we had to have more songs. So, but the newer songs, I'm sure, were influenced by how we sound live.
Okay, and I mean, I would say naturally your songs are pretty catchy. How important in your creative process is catchiness?
Actually, not really, but I think the things that I really like, because actually I love all kinds of music, I also love pop music, and what sticks with me is also catchiness, but it's not like a criterion. It's not like, oh, it's not catchy enough, it's gonna be a shit song, but it just kind of happens.
All right. Let's imagine some of our readers never heard of you, never heard of your music. How would you describe your music or yourself as a musician? Not in terms of your label, which is always difficult, but maybe through your main influences or your musical, not to say hero, but references.
Okay. I listen to a lot of Mr. Bungle, Frank Zappa, Björk, Bursum, Dark Throne, and Winter Sun. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You like the last one with the season based song, the long. You
see. The time, I don't
time
know.
Time was awesome from first to last.
Yes, yeah.
The new one is okay, it's still high level, but
yeah.
Something. The very dark ones, I don't find them as.
I'm actually right with you.
Be.
Yeah, yeah.
The first one is okay, but
mm-hmm.
it's too close to time, maybe, but we'll see time too. Okay. So last year, 2017, Devil is fine. Basically, except the new record, what's new for you in your artistic life, I would say?
I get to do this as a job, which is bizarre.
Was it one way or the other a goal?
Huh?
Was it one way or the other
a goal
to see how that I want to do that for my daily activity and well, be able to live with that?
I've been doing music exclusively since I was like maybe 5 years ago, but I just didn't eat every day. Now there's a difference. That was definitely a goal, but what was the question? Sorry, I'm fucking it up.
When you started this project, mm-hmm. was one of your first to-do list objectives was to be able to make of that a living?
No, not at all. Because when I started this, I put it online on Bandcamp in April 2016, and it was there silently for like a couple of months, and then suddenly Kim Kelly from Noisy wrote about it, and the Rolling Stone did a piece, and then it got like, it became like this, what it is now.
So the spark is just
fun.
Yeah, but I mean the fact, what's the difference between, you still do that on your corner and with your mm-hmm. your close relatives listening that, or some of the curious guys at the Bandcamp too, I'm releasing album, I'm doing promo, I'm able to tour. It's just with the that two well-known journalists, had a view on your cradle and decided that's something we want to push.
Exactly. If that would not happen, we wouldn't be sitting here.
Right.
So it's that's why it puts everything in perspective. I can never be too arrogant, because if that lady from Noisy had a shitty day and thought, nah, I would, like, my entire career would not have happened.
There's no, just thinking of a question, do you know a band called Vast?
Vast.
V-A-S-T?
I think I've read the name. Why?
Because one way or the other, your music and the music of the guy, because he's also a one-man band, mm-hmm. I think they cannot talk to each other. One way, if you're the first album of Vast, I think it might get interested.
Write that down then. Vast.
V-A-S-T, yeah.
Okie dokie. Cool.
Once again, if we come back for the last time to the Devil is Fine period, is there one souvenir or one key memory that rise in your mind, if you kind of sum up all this period?
Yeah, man. I think at Roadburn, when we played, there was a energy, like the power outage, or the PA just fell down.
Oops.
And in any other festival, we would have been fucked. But since Roadburn is Roadburn, the crowd started singing a song. And this was like our third gig ever. They started singing a song of ours and like really supported us, and that was fucking incredible.
Yeah. All right, so the connection with the audience.
Yeah. All right.
One year, one record. Is that your natural artistic rhythm?
I don't know yet. It's this is the second time I've done this, but
because yeah. The last one was kind of released March or April, or summer last year, I don't remember.
Actually,
it's less than a year, in fact.
Yeah, but I mean, I had it on Bandcamp already like 2 years ago. So, right.
So it was old material already.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but what's your process, or do you still have the same process to create songs?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm not, you know, out playing or doing something, I'm at home writing music. That's what makes me most happy, actually. So to me, it's normal to have like at least one song per week. A load of them are like really bad, but some of them are okay.
Do you write using just a guitar or other instruments, piano or?
Everything. I mean, it could just be, you know, yeah, guitar or piano or even drums. I can't play drums at all, but sometimes I try. or even like MIDI weird computer shit, but it's never the same.
And so I don't know, for in your cell phone you stalk like layers of ideas, and at some point you decided let's come back to that, and you decide, you discard, you keep, you discard, you keep.
Yeah,
that's the way it
that's
works.
That's pretty much it. I have a volume and then censorship.
and what percentage do you keep, in fact, compared to the whole picture?
I would say about 40% are usable.
It's
the
not
rest,
that bad?
It's not that bad. But I mean, 60% of bullshit is pretty high also.
So you get bits and pieces all the time, and after that you try to see if it can fit together, or it's one idea, one song? Or
it's one idea, one song, actually. I do, because I sit down, I try an idea for like a day or whatever, and if it doesn't click, it's discarded, and then I try something new.
Right. For example, on Stranger Foot, there's I think 16 songs on the record.
Mm-hmm.
You work and you finalize 16 songs, or you have like 25 and then you have to choose?
It was 36, and then
36?
That shows what would make the best, I guess, narrative, or what would be a good album.
Meaning that the 20 leftovers are not bad songs, but they did not fit together?
Exactly.
Meaning it could be used for something else in the future? Or
it could.
Side, or, I don't know, future, like hidden chest?
It could be a B-side, or I could just, you know, write better songs and have that happen.
And you can take some of the songs already and retweak them to do something else, or you prefer to start from scratch?
I think I prefer to start from scratch, because I know, you know, if you dwell on your old ideas, you don't want to really get better. But the aim is always to get better, I think.
All right. Anything special to say for the recording session for Stranger Fruit? And in particular, did you behave or manage the stuff differently compared to Devil Is Fine?
Yeah, actually, I worked together with Sebo Adam, who produced it with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was different. I went to Vienna with him and recorded it like in 2 months.
He's Austrian or?
He's Austrian, yeah.
All right.
He actually only did pop stuff, but he's like an immense metalhead.
And so why did you work with him? Because he don't have a lot of... his resume is not very metal as you.
Yeah.
So why him?
Because that was a funny thing. Like, my manager got a call from his manager saying, this guy won't take any other jobs unless he's able to work with Zealand Ardor. And so I met with him, and he had like a Russian Circles t-shirt on. I'm like, okay, this could be okay. And we talked for 24 hours straight, and immediately got into a good space. That's also when we decided who would be a good mixing guy. We decided that Kurt Ballou, is because we really liked the drum sound on Kvelertak, the first album, and we thought that would be great if something like that would work out. And luckily, Kurt had time.
All right. So you said 2 months to work.
Yeah,
but when you started these 2 months, what did you have? You had already finalized songs, like sketches of songs.
I had, they were finalized, but on the level of Devil Is Fine. So we recorded everything new, so we had a bit higher quality.
So you came with demos, basically.
Exactly.
Raw demos. Not demos, and you tweaked and re-recorded everything.
Yeah.
Because this is it's a one-man project. What did you record yourself, did you use external musicians?
The only thing that I didn't play is the drums.
That's
Marco von Allman, who also plays live with us. The rest is me.
Mm-hmm. Is that important for you?
No, it's actually just a time and financial decision. If I, you know, have to, because you have to pay every day that they're in the studio, and you also have to explain, can you play do 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 do? Can you play do 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 do? No, actually, do 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 do. It's just a time.
All right.
Problem.
And are you kind of a fast recorder or a slow recorder? Meaning you need 25 takes to get the one, or?
Normally I'm fast, but I'm not like the most technical guitar god on planet Earth. So if it's a harder part, I might have to have like 6 takes or something. Yeah.
All right. So you after 2 months, you provided to Ballou all the 16 songs.
Mm-hmm.
explaining exactly what you wanted, what you expected.
Exactly. And then he sent, like after 2 days, he sent a rough mix, and he said, ah, this or this, this could change. Then another feedback round, this and this and this. Then it was done.
So it was a pretty short process.
Yeah.
A few days, you had your...
He had 1 week to mix the whole thing, and he kicked it, yeah.
All right.
Kurt is insane.
Sure. One of the key elements for me, very important, and I don't know how important it is considering how it looks, the cover pictures. Mm-hmm. I would say weird cover pictures. The albums are really simple ones, you play on colors. First one you have this greenish, purplish with this figure. Mm-hmm. This one is even more simple with just the logo and the color. The single is weird. Face weird, it gets this weird apple.
Yeah.
How did you work? How did you think or conceptualize the whole
concept? We wanted to keep the two colors, the primary colors, that were complementary, because it just makes sense, because it's complementary musical genres.
Mm-hmm.
And since the album is called Stranger Fruit, actually the logo is like a cutout of an apple also.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
No, well, on the
yeah, okay.
On
that,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was what we were going for. It's a play on Stranger Fruit and the forbidden fruit of the Garden of Eden, and also on the Beatles album, because the apple is kind of fucked up now.
Yeah. Okay. But how important is the cover picture for you? You need a picture, you provide a picture, and you don't care? Or even you as a metalhead or music fan, you like watching cover pictures with the details, or you don't care much?
Actually, yeah, I mean, I do all the visual stuff, so it's really important to me. I was looking at a lot of covers, or like album covers, as a comparison. And the most iconic ones are the very simple ones with textures. Like, I don't know, if you think of Dark Side of the Moon, it's just really, you could look at it from like 30 meters away and you recognize it. Same goes for, I guess, Justice or Daft Punk or simple shit.
So just a logo or just one obvious object or character, it's enough?
If it's one subject with a lot of meanings, you're golden, I think.
Right, yeah, so the logo itself, you design it yourself,
it's the sigil of Lucifer with a Z and an A in it.
Ah, okay,
yeah.
I didn't watch it like that. all right.
So it's a really old symbol that we just kind of bastardized.
okay, I understand. Mm-hmm. Other element of the visual is all the video clips. So for the first album, you released The Devil Is Fine video clips, where once again you were using the colors, the character chain, and so on. There, it's how could I say? There's more of a story to kind of try to find to follow.
Mm-hmm.
on Gravedigger's Chant. So, what was the creative process for this? For these video clips and for the shooting and all the implementation of the ideas?
It was the same guys who did the Devil Is Fine video clip, Samuel Morris and Fabio Tozzo, okay. Together with Manuel Siebel also.
Mm-hmm.
We sat together, got really drunk, and kind of conceptualized the story of what could happen. And it was really important to us that like the album, it's not too... you say too decisive. There's a room for interpretation.
Yeah.
Because we all really like David Lynch, and we wanted to incorporate that form of vague storytelling into the video clips.
For the shooting itself, what was your involvement?
For the shooting itself,
yeah.
None. We were rehearsing.
But you were there, or
I wasn't. I wasn't even there. No, I did like.
So you never met the two. Teenagers,
I did télé-réalisation.
I
got feedback on the phone for the dailies.
Okay, so you never met the two characters and so.
No.
Do you know where they shot the whole thing?
Yeah, actually, it's just across the border of France to Switzerland.
All right, there's just in the woods there.
Exactly, they have this swamp place. Also, I of course, like, it's really weird because I got like a catalog of faces, and they said, "Which face would you like? Oh, this guy, this guy, this guy."
Oh, you have to choose the actors. The actors that will work. Yeah.
And like a week later, you see like the first like images of set, and you're like, "Oh shit, it's real now."
So you take the creepiest teenager and the face.
Yep.
Okay. As you mentioned, the meaning is hidden, or you can understand whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Is there hidden or not hidden a link between the video clips of Devil in Fine and the new one?
It's in the same universe, I would say. It's two different narratives.
Okay, so don't try to force.
But if you want to, go for it.
Okay, check on Reddit, you will find a lot of ideas and crazy. any other video clips in the pipes?
There's a lot of scripts we already have, but there's not enough money because it's fucking expensive to make these clips, man.
So you would like, but right now in the short term, no. You'll see in the future what happens. And imagine you have no budget issues, a limited fund. Which song would you do next?
I think I would do one for Waste, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
You tend to write, especially from the last one, short songs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that on purpose? You don't feel good in long 8-10 minutes tracks, or would just at the after 3 or 4 minutes you think you completed the circle and let's go?
Yeah, I think maybe I don't have that much to say, but I think if you can't say what you want in 3 minutes or so, or in 4 minutes, maybe you're just elongating what you're trying to say.
Okay, so yeah.
So I kind of suck at long songs, yeah.
Alright. So just to finish, we have a short quiz.
Okay.
There's no good or bad answers because it's your personal taste, so there's no good or bad.
Alright.
Favorite song ever?
Okay, that's hard. Oh, I think Retro Vertigo by Mr. Bungle.
Alright. First rock album you bought?
First rock album. I was like,
maybe not rock, but there's a sometimes you want to avoid saying the shameful first record where you were 8 years old.
No. That when I was 8 years old, and it was Americana by The Offspring.
Could have been worse for sure.
Could have been worse. Could have been better though too.
Yeah. The last record you bought?
The last record I bought was fuck. Did I actually buy music? Something by Blood Music on Bandcamp, some weird...
You say you don't buy music because you stream music?
Yeah, but the last thing I bought was actually off Bandcamp.
Alright.
Yeah.
When you're streaming those Spotify things, from your point of view as a musician and as a user, I would say, you think it's a curse or a blessing?
I think it's neither. I think it's just an evolution. People will always listen to music, and
But the thing is that if you need a shitload of
plays to get money,
to get something.
So you go play live, and that's not a bad thing. Musicians are not. You're not a musician if you recorded something and you can lean back. You have to actually play, right? So I don't think it's a very bad development. I don't think a musician should be rich because he wrote a song 10 years ago. That doesn't really make sense.
Alright, I understand. Is there a spark when you were younger that made you decide to start music or playing a guitar or whatever?
No, I just didn't have a girlfriend for a very long time.
You got bored and so you said, whatever.
Well, yeah.
Your least favorite song of the two albums? There was Fine and Stranger Fruit. Is there one you kind of get bored or tweaked differently?
Well, to play, I think Children Summon, just because it's such a pain in the ass to play.
Technically or because of the
The arrangement?
Yeah.
Oh no, technically. It's just like a I get cramps and shit. It's no fun.
Alright. A song you would have loved to have written for someone.
Shit. I guess Happy Birthday would be cool. Because everybody could already sang it. You're like, you know, I wrote that.
I'm not sure you make a lot of money with that, but yeah.
Oh, actually, no, you wouldn't make no money at all. But so it's
Stairway to Heaven or something might be a little more...
More lucrative, but yeah. I think it's not as cool as to say, you know, that song when you turned two, that was me.
it's a good reason. Imagine for the next record you have a choice of guest, dead or alive. Who would you choose?
Great question. Who would be fun? Maybe. No, I don't know. Dead or alive. Mike Patton would be a great fucking guest, I think. I think maybe not personally. Maybe he hates me.
That's the thing with the musical heroes. If you look back, it's not very nice people. It's kind of break the whole dream. But
yeah,
why not? Two last things. You have the opportunity to play a gig everywhere in the world. Where would you go?
ISS space station.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's not in the world, but still, it's around the world.
That's maybe one of the few places where Metallica never played.
Yeah, there. Fuck you.
And finally, your favorite record for last year, 2017?
I think it was King Cruel. What was the Ooze, I think it was called.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, man.
My pleasure.
It's a treat.